You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Artists and those who live near the ocean know it can be blue or green or gray, depending on the weather. It's different in the tropics than here in New England or up in the Arctic. But here's a factor most probably have not considered when it comes to ocean color: climate change. New work suggests that the color of the ocean could change significantly over the next few decades. And this is far from a cosmetic issue. It's a reflection of fundamental changes in ocean chemistry and ecosystems. Stephanie Dutkiewicz is a principal research scientist at MIT and lead author of the new work. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Heather.
Your research on ocean color uses satellite imagery and satellite data. And I've seen a lot of these satellite images of the ocean, and you see swirls of green and white and the deep blue of the mid-ocean. To me, it looks like art as much as anything. And I wonder what you see when you look at this. Is there an element of art and beauty, or do you just see data when you see those images?
I absolutely love those images. I see art too. That they're beautiful, sort of all the different structures and the different colors that are in there. So I definitely see them as art as well, but I also see them as telling us an awful lot about what's happening in the ocean.
What kinds of things can ocean color tell us about the ocean?
So it can tell us about the amount of phytoplankton that are in the ocean. So phytoplankton are the base of the food web. They're sort of the plants of the ocean. They take up sunlight and make organic matter that feeds everything else in the oceans, and phytoplankton have a pigment called chlorophyll inside them, and that's what they use to get energy from the sunlight. And we can see the different colors in the ocean can tell us something about how much chlorophyll is in the water.
Because that's green, right?
Well, actually, what it is that the chlorophyll absorbs very deeply in the blue, I mean, more in the blue than in the green. And so it takes a lot of the blue light away that doesn't become reflected. And so what we see when we look at the ocean is that it's more green. So it's actually a slightly other way around. But what we see, what our eyes see, is that the green, and that sort of suggests there's lots of chlorophyll.
But there are other things that also determine ocean color. I mean, it's not really ocean color, it's ocean colors, right?
Yes, yes. So it also tells us something about the types of phytoplankton that are there. So the phytoplankton are a very diverse group of organisms, and some of them are slightly more yellow, some are slightly more green, some are slightly more blue. And so by subtle differences in the color of the ocean, in those different kind of color bands, we can tell something about what types of phytoplankton are there. There are also sort of other things in the water that change the color, some other organic matter, some particles, and those also will have an effect on changing how the sort of the actual color that the ocean produces.
Stephanie Dutkiewicz, your work looking at ocean color is an attempt to track potential changes in the phytoplankton, those microscopic plants, and get a handle on how climate change might affect whole ecosystems that are based on those microscopic plants. But the changes that we've seen to date, you say, have been complex and limited. How much do we actually know about how this, as you've already described it, really complex mixture of different kinds of phytoplankton, different ocean chemistry, how these really complex systems are responding to climate change?
The phytoplankton and the chlorophyll have a very large natural variability. So between seasons, there's a lot of differences. So some of those beautiful images that we were talking about is usually what we call a spring bloom. And that sort of happens in the springtime. And it's kind of like the same as the leaves coming out on trees. The phytoplankton bloom up and they really make this color change. And then it dies off as we go into the summer. So over 1 year, there'll be huge changes in the color of the ocean, but also between different years. So an El Nino year will have a very different type of signature of chlorophyll than a La Nina year. And so there's this very large natural variability. And so when we've looked at the satellite products, which have only been around for about 20 years, there isn't yet a clear signal. That doesn't mean that things aren't changing. It's just saying that the changes are still within that natural variability. And so what we're seeing is some places may be showing just a little sign of decreasing, some may be showing just a little sign of increasing. But on a statistical basis, we can't really say that it's that the trend is outside of the natural variability.
What are the factors that we would expect to cause changes in the amount of phytoplankton, related to climate change? Is it just temperature? Is it acidity? Is it the actual carbon dioxide? Is it something else?
Actually, it's all of them, and that's part of the problem. That's what makes the signal so difficult to see. One of sort of the main signals that we expect, and I'm not sure that we can really say we can see it yet, but what we definitely do expect in the future is the change in the amount of nutrients, and that's sort of basically the food that the phytoplankton are going to get. The phytoplankton need sunlight, which is why they're up near the surface of the ocean, but they also need these nutrients. And a lot of the nutrients actually come from the deep part of the ocean. And what climate change is going to do is going to change the amount of nutrients, and particularly decrease the amount of nutrients that are going to come up to the surface. And so the phytoplankton are going to get less and less of them. And so in a large portions of the ocean, that will mean a decrease in the amount of phytoplankton and the amount of chlorophyll. But there are also going to be some other regions where increased temperatures are going to make faster growth rates. And so in a few places in the ocean, particularly more towards the poles, there may actually be a slight increase in the amount of chlorophyll and phytoplankton.
As we try to go from what you've already said is fairly limited, about 20 years of satellite data on ocean color, and try to pick out possible climate change signals from all of the seasonal and other natural changes, one of the things that a lot of scientists have done is try to create models that would take all of these different factors, like the carbon dioxide and the temperature and the nutrients, into account to try to project what we might see in the future. How well, at the moment, do those computer models match what we actually see with the satellite data?
So the models can capture a lot of what we see in terms of that natural variability. So they can capture those spring blooms. They can capture the differences between a sort of El Nino years. So they can capture a lot of what we know is happening in the ocean. And so then we feel that they're in a place that we can use them to begin to explore what might happen in the future. We need to keep remembering that they are models and they're not going to capture everything right, but we can use them as a laboratory to begin to sort of explore what will happen in a future world.
And what would we, with what we do know at this point in those models, what kind of color changes would we expect in the next few decades as climate change progresses?
So in some of these regions where we expect to be a reduction in chlorophyll, so these are the regions where phytoplankton are going to be sort of starving, we would expect to see the ocean become a little bluer because there's less chlorophyll in it.
And what are those areas?
So in oceanography jargon, we call them the subtropical gyres. So those are open ocean that are just off the equator. Bermuda is in the subtropical gyres, or Hawaii is in the subtropical gyres. Now, we're not making any predictions about what color changes are going to happen on the islands themselves, but it's those regions of the ocean that we're going to see the biggest changes, certainly the changes where it's going to decrease.
And what about other parts of the ocean?
Well, some of the polar regions, as I said, there's sort of increase in temperature, which might actually spur faster growth rates, might show some signatures of increased phytoplankton. And also really sort of where the ice retreats, you expect to see some big changes as more light is making it to the ocean and allowing more phytoplankton to grow. So those will be sort of places in the Arctic and then really around Antarctica.
I'm talking with Stephanie Dutkiewicz of MIT about her ocean color research. And this new work that you've just published is kind of a new method for analyzing ocean color data that you say helps pick apart some of the different colors and some of the different processes that would result in just, you know, that blue or green kind of color readout. How much of a difference does this new technique make in our ability to figure out what's going on?
Well, so what the study that we've done has included the process of how light penetrates the ocean, and in particular how it gets scattered and reflected back up from the surface into one of these computer models. What it gives us is actually a little bit more information than we've had before, and then that is being able to see how different colors in the visible spectrum are changing as over the course of the 21st century. And what it suggests is that the color is being able to show an earlier warning sign of climate change on the marine ecosystems than many of the other metrics that we've looked at before in models. And that's because the ocean color is seeing not just the change in chlorophyll, but it's seeing the changes in the community, the phytoplankton communities that are in the ocean. And those are going to change quite dramatically over the course of the 21st century.
And you've said that you think this way of looking at ocean color could be one of the most reliable indicators of the impact of climate change on the ocean, given the complexity that you've already outlined. I mean, what makes you say that? Why not just look at temperature or salinity?
Well, we're not going to be able to tell what's happening to phytoplankton just from something like temperature or salinity. We can certainly use the satellites to look at how temperature changes, but that doesn't tell us how the ecosystems are going to change. The ocean color is going to be able to tell us something about the ecosystem changes.
Obviously, there's a lot of concern about the potential for declines in phytoplankton in regions of the ocean. As you've said, those are the microscopic plants at the base of the entire ecosystem, the base of the food chain. If that goes away, everything kind of crumbles on top of it. But as you've also said, what we've seen for changes so far are fairly limited and hard to pick out from just natural changes. By the time we can say, hey, the color of the ocean is changing, phytoplankton are changing, we really think this is an effect of climate change, is it too late?
Too late is an interesting thing. We're not going to kill phytoplankton completely, but there's going to be changes to them. And so that is going to affect the rest of the food web. It's not going to be too late, but the sooner we take this as a very serious problem, the sooner we can do something about it, and the less severe those changes will be. So we can continue what we're doing, and we will still have a world. It's just not a world that we're going to be familiar with. It's not going to be a world that is going to be inhabitable by a lot of our species. And as you go up to things like polar bears and things like that, they may not be able to get the food that they used to because we've altered what's happening at the bottom of the food chain. And again, it's not just because we're reducing the number of phytoplankton, we're also changing the types. And so you could sort of think of that as if you suddenly started having cactuses growing where there's only grass, you can imagine all the insects and all the mammals that were used to the grassland would not really know what to do with a cactus. So it's the same kind of idea in the oceans. The slower we make those changes and the less we make those changes, the more things will be able to adapt and be able to sustain something that looks reasonably like our current day.
Being selfish, going to possibly the top of all the food chains to humans, it's not just food that we get from the ocean. Half the oxygen in the atmosphere comes from ocean plants. Are we talking about changes on a scale that could change our atmosphere?
I don't think we're going to affect at a level that we will notice how much oxygen there is in the atmosphere. However, the phytoplankton produce half the oxygen that's in the atmosphere, but they also fix half the carbon dioxide that is taken up. So the plants will fix one half and the phytoplankton will fix the other half. So they are important in maintaining a way for carbon to go from the atmosphere and into the ocean. And so if we change them dramatically, then there's going to be more of that anthropogenic carbon that's left in the atmosphere. So it certainly will affect our climate.
Stephanie Dutkiewicz is a principal research scientist at MIT studying ocean color as a way to understand what microscopic plants called phytoplankton are doing and how they're affected by climate change. Stephanie, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me on your show, Heather. Thanks.